I have a lot of memories from when I was a child. One that's always stuck out to me though was when I was about 10 years old and I was in school and I struggled. And I didn't struggle with English, math, or science. I struggled holding still. And I would try to listen and focus and process ideas, but I couldn't help myself. And to be honest, I would sit there and then I would just start tapping. And the students in the class would look at me and they'd say, "Hey, stop tapping." A lot of the time, I didn't even realize I was doing it. And then eventually even the teachers got after me and they would yell at me and they'd say, "Clint, you have to stop tapping." It got so bad that I got sent to the principal's office for tapping. And he said to me, "Okay, maybe when you go back to class, just try sitting on your hands." And so I did. I went back to class, and when I felt myself starting to tap, I did this. I sat on my hands. And that worked for about 5 seconds. One time I was tapping in class, and my teacher, Mr. Jensen, he looked at me, and he yelled. And he said, "Clint, stay after class." And I thought to myself, this is it. I am done. Now, I've always been the type of person that believes that a single moment in time can change a person's life. And this was one of those moments for me, and I will never forget it. And so I was sitting there with Mr. Jensen and an empty classroom. And he walked past me and he sat next to his desk and he said, "Clint, come here, I want to talk to you." And as he looked me right in the eye, he said, "Now, I need you to know something, you're not in trouble, but I do have just one question that I have to ask you." And he asked, he said, "Have you ever thought about playing the drums?" And in that moment, Mr. Jensen, he leaned back and he opened the top drawer of his desk. And he reached in and he pulled out my very first pair of drumsticks. And he held them in his hands and he looked at me and he said, "Hey, Clint, you're not a problem. I think you're a drummer." Moment on, I've never put those sticks down. I've toured, recorded, and played drums all over the world. My whole college education was paid for with drumsticks in my hand. Just because of a single moment in time when somebody believed in me and he saw something in me that I didn't even see within myself. And from that moment, I learned that there's a difference between being the best in the world and being the best for the world.
"You're not a problem. I think you're a drummer." Simple words spoken by that teacher, but words that didn't just change a moment for that little boy. Those were words that spoke a new possibility for him, a possibility that changed his life. I love stories like that, don't you? Those are such great stories. And teachers, like, that is why we love you. You have such a great opportunity. But I think for many of us, we have a similar story. Who was it for you? Was it a coach, a teacher, a parent, maybe a pastor? Somebody who spoke something to you that brought alive something inside that you didn't even believe possible. I mean, our kids, if kids are watching online or here in this room, you know this feeling too. When somebody says something about you to you and you're like, "Wow, you see that?" Like, those are those moments when words have such power. It's not just a moment, it's something that goes beyond just that moment. Unfortunately, I think we've all experienced the opposite too, haven't we? The opposite, when somebody speaks a word to discourage us, to push us back down, to make us doubt ourselves, to make us doubt the world around us, maybe even doubting God. Our words are powerful. And today, as we continue this Unstuck Message series, we are going to look at the mouth. The mouth has an amazing ability to get us stuck in life, feeling stuck in life. And to do that, we're going to be in James chapter 3. So for those of you who have your Bibles with you, or if you want to click on your phone over to James, it's at the end of the New Testament. We're going to stick around in James chapter 3. But as I think about this idea of words and being stuck because of words, because of our mouths, I ask the question, why? Why do words have this power? And I believe the reason why words have this power is that words create worlds. Words create worlds, and I'm not talking about manifesting where we speak and our words create vibrations in the universe and that create, that's a distortion of God's plan for words. But God designed words to have power, and they create worlds. In Genesis 1, we see God creating all that we know with just a word. Now, our words do not have the ability to create galaxies. I'm not suggesting that. But what our words do have the ability to do is create perceptions of that reality, to create words, worlds, ways of seeing ourselves, others, the world around us, and God in a new way. Our words have this incredible power. For the young man in the video, those words by that teacher changed his life. We know this happens. Kids know this happens. They see it in their movies all the time. I'm going to just date myself. Lion King, anybody seen the original Lion King? Yes, right? Yes, the good movie. Simba. Simba's told by Scar that he is responsible for his father's death. That changes Simba's life. Just those words. On a cold day, Elsa in Frozen. Her powers are dangerous, so she keeps people at arm's distance. Even our kids know that this works, that the words that are spoken have power. Proverbs 18:21 puts it this way. The tongue has the power of life and death. The power of life, to give life, life-giving words or life-taking words. Again, we know this to be true. And yet, I think oftentimes we take for granted the power of our words. I would go so far as to suggest that the quality of your life is dependent and connected to the quality of your words. People who go around and they're constantly negative, it changes their world, doesn't it? It changes the way they live. The quality of your life is directly connected to the quality of your words. As we talk about getting unstuck, I think we get stuck by our mouth in at least three different ways. The first is words spoken to us, words that others have spoken to us. Second is words we speak to ourselves. And third, words that we speak to others. We've been called things that are unkind. We've been called good things, but things that are unkind that get us stuck. We've called ourselves things that are unkind. And we've said things to people that we really wish we could take back. As we open James chapter 3, James is going to give us an insight into what Scripture says the power of words really is. So let's look at James chapter 3, beginning in verse 2. It says, we all stumble in many ways. Anyone who is never at fault in what they say is perfect, able to keep their whole body in check. This whole body idea. The word for whole body isn't just talking about the physical body. It's your entire being. So right there in verse 2, it's saying that if you can control your words, you can control your entire being. That's huge. Goes on with three different metaphors. Let's look at these metaphors. When we put bits into the mouths of horses to make them obey us, we can turn the whole animal. Or take ships as an example. Although they are so large and are driven by strong winds, they are steered by a very small rudder, wherever the pilot wants to go. Likewise, the tongue is a small part of the body, but it makes great boasts. Consider what a great forest is set on fire by a small spark. I want to look at just that last metaphor. We could go through all three of these, but just that last one about the fire. We know about wildfires around here. We've had several of them. Even just this winter, we've had one, or at least one. And I was thinking of the one from, I think it was 2017. 2017, there were houses that were burned down. There was all kinds of destruction that we saw. And our firefighters did an amazing job with that, but it was a tough one. Even for us, our house wasn't directly like in the line necessarily, but we were evacuated. And I remember that feeling of just being like, wow, this is real. Like this is not just some sort of thing that happened somewhere else. But to think about those fires that we see, they start with just a small spark. Something so small, and yet it affects more than just the person who said it, the person who starts the fire. It affects so many. And long after that fire's put out, you still see the effects. Even today, if you go, you knew where the trees were, you knew where different things were, it looks different than it did. One careless sentence can burn trusts, friendships, marriages, and families. And even when a fire is put out, the scars remain. So how do we get unstuck by our words, though? Like, if that is the power of our words, how do we get unstuck from those? How do we move forward? Because Christ has offered us a life of freedom. And to live that life of freedom means we aren't going to live that sense of just being stuck where we are. We want to be able to move forward in that freedom. I would suggest the first thing we need to do is first hear what you say. Hear what you say. The tone, the reaction, the patterns. Do you talk to yourself? That's a nervous giggle. Do you talk to yourself? I tend to talk to myself, and I can't believe I'm about to admit this, but when I talk to myself when nobody is home, it's long. Like, I just start going. But here's the thing. I'm multitasking, maybe folding laundry or doing something on my computer, and I'm just talking away. And what happens is I will hear myself say, and that's really why I'm so upset about this, and I have no clue what I'm talking about. I should probably seek help, but I'm admitting this. We need to hear what we say. So often we are talking away and not actually hearing what we are saying. The tone, the patterns. Sometimes we'll say things and we'll go, oh, I'm sorry, I didn't mean that. That's not me. Unfortunately, Scripture says it is. Luke 6:45 says, what you say flows from what is in your heart. So when I say those things that I go, oh, I'm sorry, that wasn't me, that was something from within my heart that reveals your heart needs some work. Some work that the Holy Spirit can do. But your heart needs some work because what you say flows from your heart. You see, words are free until you use them. How you use them determines what they cost you. For many of us, we think about this and we think, I don't really have a problem with this. Like, I'm pretty good with my words. I'm not too mean, usually. I do okay with this. Well, let's let James continue on in verse 7 and 8. All kinds of animals, birds, reptiles, and sea creatures are being tamed and have been tamed by mankind. But no human being can tame the tongue. Can't be done. So in verse 2, it said, well, if you're perfect with this, it gives direction to the whole body. Now James is saying, but nobody can do it. The tongue is difficult to tame. It's easy for it to just kind of, like a wildfire, just start going, right? Let's make it even a little bit more stepping on my own toes. Have you ever complained? Criticized? Lying? Ooh, lying is a big one right now. It's becoming very, very accepted. Gossiping. Parents, this is hard. With kids, because kids know exactly where every little hidden button that you didn't even know existed is, and they will push it or get right up to it. Right? This is tough. It's easy for us to lose sight of hearing what we're saying. It's easy to allow the emotion of a moment to cause us to say things that we wish we could take back. So the first way to get unstuck is to hear what you say. The second part is to hear his heart. Hear God's heart. See, John 8:32 tells us that the truth will set us free, but the truth can't set us free if we continue repeating lies to ourselves. Last week we talked about identity, the heart and the mind, and replacing the lies with truth, the truth of God, hearing God's heart, hearing his heart. If you weren't able to hear that message, I'm going to encourage you to go back, inspirehutch.church, and listen to that message. on replacing the lies that we have believed about ourselves with the truth of what God says, who God says we are. Because the reality is that for most of us, we have experienced pain in life. All of us have. And it's not usually the pain that trips us up. It's the lies in the pain that we believe that trip us up. It's always going to be this way. I'm worthless. It doesn't really matter. This is just the way it is. It's the way I am. Genesis 3, an interesting thing happens. Adam and Eve have eaten from the tree they were told not to eat from, and they realize that they are naked. And so they hide because God is coming through the garden. And when God comes into the garden, he's calling out, Adam, where are you? And Adam says, we hid because we were naked. And God says this phrase, who told you that you were naked? Who told you that? That's a great question for us to ask. When we start to repeat things in our minds, who told you that? Who told you that you didn't matter? Who told you that? Because was it God or was it the enemy? It was the enemy who had told Adam and Eve that they could go ahead and eat from that tree. No big deal. Just go ahead. In fact, it'll benefit you. Who told you that? Whose voice are you listening to? Hear his heart. How do we hear God's heart? We hear it through his word. Getting into the word. God, what do you say about me? What is your heart? We hear it through his people. And we hear it through the Holy Spirit. But we confirm everything through the word. What I'm hearing, God, I want to hear your heart. Does this word line up with God's word? Here's an action step for you. In prayer, practice James 1:19. It says, be quick to listen and slow to speak. We often think of that, this verse, when we're talking about like in relationship with people. Like be quick to listen and slow to speak. Prayer is a conversation with God, not a monologue. In prayer, spend some time listening. Say, God, what are you saying to me? Who do you say that I am? How should I respond to this situation? We need to hear his heart, to hear God's heart. And then finally, say what you hear. Say what you hear. Number three, Ephesians 4:29 says, do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. Building up or tearing down. You know, I was driving on Plum recently, and I noticed that there are about three different projects in the last few months where they have been tearing down either a house or clearing some land or an old commercial building. And it's amazing. If you miss one day, like that building's practically gone. Demolition is 100 times faster than construction. They start building that, and it's like, are they done yet? Like, seriously, is this just going to last forever? But demolition, it's done like that. It's true in our words, too. Demolition is 100 times faster than construction. Are our words building people up? Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up. Jesus gives us a great example of this in John 12:49 when he says, for I did not speak on my own, but the Father who sent me commanded me to say all that I have spoken. All that we have spoken. Speaking the heart of God. That challenges me because I talk a lot. To speak what we hear from God. To people. Have you ever had those moments when maybe it's in prayer, maybe you're just driving to work and somebody comes to mind, somebody comes to your mind and you're thinking, oh, I wonder how they're doing. And we never go any further than that. I wonder, perhaps the Spirit is laying that person on your heart and maybe you just need to reach out to them. When we see somebody doing something good, maybe it's even that kid who is tapping and tapping and tapping and tapping and driving us insane. We see them doing something good. Do we say it? Do we speak that out? That's what we're talking about, is speaking those things out. Because we don't want to have a double tongue. In James 3, 9 through 10, he says, "With the tongue we praise our Lord and Father, and with it we curse human beings who have been made in God's likeness. Out of the same mouth come praises and cursing. My brothers and sisters, this should not be." This word praise that is through here, in some versions of your scripture, it's translated as bless. We bless God and we curse others. And when I read this, my first thought is, well, I don't know that I bless people, and I don't know that I'm cursing. I'm not calling down curses. That's not necessarily what this verse is talking about. That word for praise is the same word we get the word eulogy from. It means to speak well. To speak well of someone, to speak well of God. And to curse is to do the opposite, to speak poorly of them. This shouldn't be. We shouldn't be in this double-minded, double-tongued kind of thing. We should speak what we hear God say. One of the quickest ways to destroy a family, a home, a relationship, is to say whatever we want to say whenever we want to say it. Because whenever we are saying what we want to say whenever we want to say it, God clearly cannot say what he wants to say when he wants to say it. Sometimes we use the excuse, well, they just tell it like it is. I have never met somebody who tells it like it is that's not just a jerk. Let's just be honest. That's not an excuse, or that is an excuse. We need to be the kind of people who speak the heart of God to people. I mean, imagine what would happen in your home, in your workplace, in your school, wherever you are, in our community. If we were the kind of people who just spoke the heart of God to people, hey, he loves you. He wants a relationship with you. He is for you. Hey, kid, you're not a problem. You're a drummer. Imagine what that would be like. Words create worlds. So what kind of world are your words creating? Romans 10:9 says, "If you declare with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved." This verse is fascinating to me. It is saying that if we want to be saved, we need to use our mouths. The mouth has the power to create worlds. Our mouths are engaged in confessing that Jesus is Lord. We need to confess that, to speak that. There is a power in our words to create worlds and change eternity. Again, what kind of world are we creating with our words? Who are we agreeing with? What if the people that we are rubbing shoulders with each and every day are absolutely starving for encouragement? And some of us are going, I'm starving for encouragement. I believe that's true. I believe that we are in a world where we are surrounded by people who are feeling the weight of everything. The weight of parenting, of marriage, of family, and not to even mention all the global nonsense. Like, we are feeling the weight of it. What if we were the kind of people who listened to our words, heard the heart of God, and spoke the heart of God over people? That's what it means to be a blessing, that to speak the heart of God over people. Friends, I believe we are surrounded by people each day who need the words that we can offer. We have the power of life and death. Let's speak life. Now, for some of you, you have been told words that have hurt you so very deeply that years later, it could have been 30, 40 years ago that something was spoken to you. And today, even as we talk about words, it's coming back to mind. And whether they realized the power of the word that they were speaking over you or not, it hurt. It hurt deeply. Next week, we're going to talk about forgiveness. But I want you to hear that God is for you. That he will not leave you nor forsake you. And that he can heal even the deepest of wound. So would you pray with me? Lord, I thank you for the opportunity that we have with our words, the power that you have placed in them. Lord, I pray today for those who have been hurt, those who feel that particularly deeply today. God, I pray that you would apply the salve of heaven to the sting and that you would help us to hear your heart. Lord, what have you said about us? Who have you said that we are? And God, help us to then speak life into others by hearing you. God, we don't want to participate in the tearing down. We want to be a people who build others up. And we want to be the people whose mouths confess that Jesus is Lord and whose hearts believe that you have raised him from the dead. Anybody online or hearing my voice in this room today, maybe you need to make that decision today to confess that Jesus is Lord, that he is who he says he is, that he's done what he says he's done, and that he will be who he says he will be. If that's you, I want you to be brave this morning. If you're ready to receive salvation, this can be the day of salvation on this cold, snowy day. I'm going to invite everybody to open your eyes, and we're going to pray this prayer together that we pray most every week, inviting God to come into our lives, inviting Christ to be our Lord and our Savior. And as we pray this, for some of us, we're praying this hopefully for the very first time. And we're going to believe it in our hearts and confess with our mouths that Jesus is Lord. And maybe we've said this many times, but let's say it again, because we believe that what we say with our mouths matter. So let's pray this together. Lord, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Savior of the world, that he gave his life to forgive my sins. And he was raised from the grave to give me life. I receive your grace by faith. Come into my life. I will follow you. Amen. Amen. May it be so. Pastor Nate.